sinners and saints, and welcome back to Happy, Holy, Humble. I'm your host, Katana, and today we're going to dive down into a new topic I got for y'all. I'm so excited. But first, let's look to God and in prayer. Father God, we come to you right now just thanking you for another episode of Happy, Holy, Humble. We thank you for those that tuned in today as we get ready to learn a little bit about our identity. Father God, I pray right now that anybody that is watching this, God, make them get something from it. Use me as your vessel so that I may continue to give your word to help somebody live this lifestyle after you. God, we thank you for your everlasting grace and your everlasting mercy, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So welcome back, y'all. I missed y'all so much. And today I got a new topic I'm really excited to dive deep into. So the title is Identifying Who You Are in Christ. Tonight we're going to get into your identity a little bit. And I really want you guys to think about who you are as a person, and who you are when you're representing Christ. So keep that in mind tonight. I got a lot of different scripture that I'm coming out of tonight, but one scripture that I want to really highlight on is going to be 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 3. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. And the word of the Lord is blessed. So we'll talk about your identity. Who are you? And what do you represent? So a little bit about me. We all wear many hats in our lives, of course. Like, I'm a daughter. I'm an auntie. I am a radio promotions assistant. Those are a little bit about my titles. But it's good to have titles, but do those titles really have a part in our identity? Me, I would say yes, because some of those people see that identity, and some of them are respecting that identity. They're looking up to that title of what I do. And obviously, if you are like with these titles, you're obviously, how do I explain this best? The titles that we have in life are also how they help build us up, who we are becoming. And sometimes with these titles, we either like them and like where we're going, or we're just taking them because we're in a season and we really don't know where to move from it. Like, you know, some of you might be a McDonald's fast food worker. You might not want to stay there forever, but it's a title and you should do your job and to the best of your ability. So, who are you? Do you consider yourself a representation of Christ? Or are you just like a person that just goes to church? Hey, I'm a church goer. That's what I do. That's who I am. I could be honest, that was me a long time ago growing up in the church. I feel like I was just a church kid. I wasn't a PK per se, so I wasn't really trying to like, I wasn't really know the word like most of those PKs be knowing, but I will say that growing up in church, I was a church kid. I was right along with them, sitting on the back pew, being like, Mom, gotta go to the bathroom, Mom, because I'm just like bored in service. I was there when they had afternoon service, and I was in the choir as a young person. So I was the ultimate church kid. We were there from Monday to Sunday, and sometimes Sunday to Saturday. Like, church was my life. But also, I had a little bit of a different identity on the outside. So even though I was a church kid, when I was in school, I was a friend. I was a cheerleader. I was in a part of the drama club. And that, to me, became a little bit a part of my identity. I mean, my fiance calls me dramatic. I mean, I get it, honest. I was in a drama club. Like, of course, I'm going to be dramatic about certain things. But it's good to know that you know, even though I had both of those worlds where I grew up in the church and then I went to high school and had all these different activities, was a part, it's good to know that my identity in Christ never changed. And when I say it never changed, I mean, like, I was always the same. I always had good morals. I always tried to respect everybody. I always was the upbeat person. Never tried to really act outside my character and live a double life. I really had good morals. Now, I'm not going to say I was always perfect trying not to live a double life. I slipped up a couple times. I fell a couple times. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Okay, amen. But the reason that, you know, my identity was inflected because I was going through a lot of stuff. I was, you know, I had been in church my whole life, but when I got around my friends at school and I wanted to fit in, that's when my identity kind of struggled. And I really wasn't like, hey, y'all, I go to church, come with me. Like, my friends was like, we ain't doing that. And I was just like, oh. But I loved church. I never was ashamed of it. But I feel like when you're younger, it's not, some people see it as like, oh, you trying to push Jesus onto me. And then other people's like, oh, I respect you. You go to church. I go to church too. But like, we ain't doing what church people do. So this is all about identity. We all have our own identity. That's why God created us all so different for a reason. There is no person the same. Even identical twins share the same DNA, but they are two different souls. And with them being two different souls, like, you have to really understand. So when you give your life to Christ and when you're reborn again, it's kind of like a new face gets put on you. You're the same person. Yes, you're the same. You're the same flesh. You have the same flesh. You're the same person. But a different way of living comes about you. And it also forces you to really change your identity a little bit. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. The scripture that I chose in 1 Peter, I found it very interesting in the Living Translation. The first couple words, so get rid of evil behavior. When I see this, I just think about, you know, not only people talking about like the demonic spirits that attach themselves, but I see as like anything that's not of God, you need to get rid of. Like anything that's confusion, anything that's anger, anything that is just not of the Lord Jesus Christ as a child of God, you just need to get rid of. And some of us, we struggle with that. I ain't gonna lie. I mean, some people struggle with cussing or drinking or going out with friends because that was what they used to do. But now it's once you are reborn again, there's a new light on you. You're made new again. You have a new identity and you can't act on the old things that you were doing. It's very, very hard because I feel like some of us get so caught up in trying to like keep up with the Joneses almost that we truly forget who we are supposed to be in Christ. We're supposed to be different. And if you ever notice the people in the Bible that were different and followed Jesus and obeyed God's law, they went through stuff. They went through trials and tribulations and people called them crazy and people did not respect their belief system. But you see, us as Christians, that's what we go through. People be like, they so quick to throw that in your face. Oh, I thought you was a Christian. As soon as you mess up and cuss them out. It's like, pray with me, don't play with me. I'm not the one. But at the same time, you know you did. You know that's not right. We know that's not right. But that's why we're saved. We're saved by faith and we're saved by grace. And God wants us to get it. He wants us to be better. So my thing is, when you have that new identity in Christ, it can tug on your flesh a lot. And that's why I always say the expression, like, your flesh got to die daily. And flesh is strong. Flesh is strong because, hey, we can see it. We can see it. Like, we can see the things. And I think when you're a lot younger or when you're a lot new to faith, if you can see it, then you're going to do it. And most of the things when it involves you trusting God and you believing God and you becoming a new creation, many things are done in the spirit. In order for your flesh to really take hold to your new identity, your spirit kind of has to be lined up. And let me tell you, we're not all perfect. I had a minister tell me, she's like, you're not going to be perfect. But this is why it's important to have a relationship with Christ. Repent every day. Stay in your Bible. Because guess what? The more you go in Christ and the deeper that you become, the harder it becomes for you to stick true to your new identity. And it's just because, like, the devil doesn't want to see you win. So he's going to throw every little thing at you. Like, you know, if you had an addiction to smoking cigarettes, he might be like, oh, I know you smell that cigarette. Come back this way. Or maybe you're a person who struggles with budgeting and you get a little bit of extra money. You get blessed and then there's a shoe sale. And you're like, oh, I got to go to that shoe sale, when really you're not supposed to. And most of the time, we are tested in our identity. I mean, like, you're obviously going to be tested because, you know, God wants your whole heart. He doesn't want just a piece of you. Following Jesus is a very narrow path. And if we're not careful, sometimes we let that path just get a little bit wider, a little bit wider, and a little bit wider. And then it doesn't look like we're following Jesus. It just looks like we're on the path that the world wants us to be. But Jesus is right there. Sometimes I feel like we put God on a back burner when he really is supposed to be like the leading man in everything that we do. And I mean, I will say that I have never felt like I personally put God on the back burner, but I feel like there has been times in my life that I have questioned situations or not seeked God about a certain promise or a certain thing that comes up in my life, and it ends up with me learning something from it. So I will say, like, you know, you're going to be tested. Your identity is going to be made new. And it's really hard for your identity to be made new if two people keep coming and they keep stripping at it and they keep prodding at you. So, you know, following Jesus is a narrow path, and we're going to all get there together. I mean, we're not going to be perfect, but as long as we're willing and we're ready, God is with you and God's love is upon you. So, you know, I had talked about the different many hats that I wear, and I'm pretty sure many people wear other hats, but just because we're under those hats and we're under those impressions, like, how does that really play into your identity? Like I said, you could be a McDonald's worker. That's not where you want to be forever. But that plays into your identity, because anything that you do, you're supposed to work unto the Lord. Like, you're supposed to show favor and show his kindness and be after, you know, him. I mean, the scripture that I read, it says, you must crave pure spiritual milk. In a way, to me, that means, like, you must crave it. You must want this. Nobody can sit there and say, like, if people, the rapture happened tomorrow, people run to the church, they're going to feel like, if that's what happened, they're going to be like, I'm just getting saved so I can make it into heaven. Like, I didn't know God was real. I'm just going to be here. But you, as a person who's new in their spirit or been here for a while, or are just like the rest of us, trying to figure out even if God is real, because the world is trying to pull you so much. It goes back to what the Bible said. You should crave to be more like him, like his spiritual milk, that you will grow to a full experience of salvation. And in order for us to grow to a full experience of salvation, we've got to be totally invested and totally sold out in our faith. Faith without works is dead. But if we believed in God and we never put in the work, you know, it's the same. It would be vice versa. We would never achieve what God is actually trying to get to us. And then if we put in the work, but we have struggles with believing and unbelief, then they don't go hand in hand. You're gonna mesh. Your spirit and your flesh are always gonna be fighting. I mean, it's always a battle, but it's in the end, it's what gets the glory? What in your mind, when you sit down, everybody has to take account for themselves. So are you going to take account for your spirit following Christ and going after, or are you going to take account for what your flesh did because it was so easy? It's an easy path. See, I think most people don't realize, like, following God is not an easy path. And like, your identity plays a big part in your faith. So my next scripture that I want to go over is 1 Samuel 12, 20 through 22. It says, "Don't be afraid," Samuel reassured them. "You have certainly done wrong, but make sure now that you have worshiped the Lord with all your heart. And don't turn your back on him. Don't go back to worshiping worthless idols that cannot help or rescue you. They are totally useless. The Lord will not abandon his people because that would dishonor his name. For it is pleased the Lord to make you a," his very own people. So God is pleased. God is pleased. Once you give your life to Christ, God is already pleased. But now he's looking for you to go put the work in. He's married to the backslider. He knows you're going to mess up. He knows you're going to get tempted, and he knows your flesh is sometimes going to win. But God is never going to give up on you, even in certain situations. And, you know, even with the backsliding error, some people walk away and they come back. It's like God is moving them in a way. Like, God already knows it was going to happen, right? That's how awesome he is. He already knows that you're going to walk away and you're going to feel like he's not there for you, or you go through a season where you're not listening to God, you don't hear him, and you just feel like you're by yourself in this faith thing. Or you feel like you're in a position where all you're getting the word from is from preachers, and you're not really retaining it for yourself or really understanding it for yourself. And then you self-isolate because, you know, in your faith, you're like, well, I don't need nobody else. I'm going to just figure it out myself. And, you know, sometimes that just causes confusion. That just causes, like, corruption. And God does not want you to be like that. He is pleased when we as his people. He really wants us to get it. And, I mean, he even said, don't go back to worshiping worthless idols. That includes money. That includes jobs. That includes cars. That includes mates. Okay? Don't go back to worshiping the things that is not of God. Because, for one, it may look nice on the outside, but on the inside, it's a whole nother ball game. And the longer you stay and you worship and you put your time and you put your energy, you're missing out on the fruits that God has for you. And we don't want to be that people. We want everything that God has for us laid out on the table. We want to grasp it. We want to follow him wholeheartedly. And following him, like I said, it's not easy. We talked about these before, like, accepting and believing is totally not easy. But it's when you get past that, when you know that God is the only way. Jesus is the truth, the way, and the light. And there is nobody. We can't get to the Father except through him. And that's Bible. So if you are struggling with your identity and your season that you're going in, I had talked about seasons in a couple episodes past. Really ask God to search you. Really ask God to not only search you, but once he searches you, ask him to change you. And it's gonna take real work. But speaking of the real work and the paths that we follow, I like to talk a little bit about living kind of a double life, because I feel like a lot of Christians are like, well, I do the bare minimum. I go to church, I got a Bible study, I'm part of one curricular activity, I help, I volunteer, I give my tithes, I do this, I do that. It's like, if God was taking account for everything that you did, great. But on the things that you're not doing, on the days that you're not at church or you're not in the word, or you're just like, hey, I'm going to keep doing these things because it's the right thing to do, you're missing out on so much. And like, if you're in the church and you're like, hey, I'm serving, I'm on the usher board, but then you just came from the club last night, Jesus, God don't want that either. That ain't right. And your fruits are not good. They're not good. You do not have good fruits if you are going through that. It's one way and the only way. It's a narrow path. You have to follow it. Now, yes, you're not going to be, again, he's not looking for, he didn't say you need to be perfect in this. He didn't say you need to serve in this. If God is truly touching you and he wants something for you, he's going to tell you and he's going to show you the gifts that you have and the gifts that you can contribute to his kingdom. Now, listen, you might have been really, really good. Don't get hangovers, going to the bar, whatever, but like, let's not be drunk with the wines and stuff. You know, back in the day it was drunk with the wines. Let's stop being drunk with the wines and let's get drunk in the spirit. Let's worship God. Let's get to know him. Let's seek his face, because having reinsurance in your spirit will make your whole flesh line up and feel 10 times better than any bottle of alcohol, any drug problem, any money problem, any self-doubt that you might be having. It'll make you and your whole life line up the way that you want it. So I have another scripture for you guys. Like I said, following Jesus is a narrow path. But what does that mean? In Romans 12:1-2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God's transformation into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, doesn't that sound like the best thing ever? Like, don't copy the behavior or customs of the world. Basically, it's like, don't be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is King James Version. But Living Translation says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And once you let him do that, the world is your oyster. Anything else that you've been praying for, that you've been wanting for, it's gonna line up. And your identity will be made new. And you'll know who you are. You know, they always ask us, well, who you are? And then we tell them, as like a mother, well, I'm a daughter, I'm an auntie, you know, I work at the radio station, I am a fiance, you know, all these other stuff. And then they say, well, who are you in Christ Jesus? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a chosen generation. You know, speak those things into your life and the stuff will start to line up. Your identity is so important to God because he wants you. He not only wants your spirit and wants you to be reborn, but he also wants your identity and he wants you to follow him and he wants you to be a vessel for him. I mean, he literally just talked about it in his word. He said, don't worship the idols. Don't turn your back on me. The Lord will not abandon his people, because that would be dishonor to his great name. So it's so great to know that God will never leave you, but he is heeding to his word. He's saying, don't ever leave him. Don't ever stop worshiping him, because guess what? He is going to do it for you. And I just believe that. So I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in to the third episode. Oh my gosh, It's a milestone, guys. I'm so excited to the third episode of Happy, Holy, Humble. And let's live this lifestyle that God wants us to have. I'll see you next time.